For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bastion Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBastionBrigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
The following is a special Boston Bastion Brigade presentation.
I was only a boy when the village I fled to some southern flung place all about I had read. I said, give me a year and I'll return again. Then a year turned to two and then two turned to ten. Oh, and 17 summers to this city, oh, with a many a lover that came and then went, all the friends and the stories, I think of them daily on these rotten streets.
Joining us for another episode of 101 is a fantastic folk band from London, England. You might have heard us praising their live show on the regular Boston Bass Brigade broadcast and read our 5-star review of their debut album, Forge and Flagon, pretty much cementing themselves as the best new band of 2013. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show the very lively Skinny Lister. Welcome to the Boston Bass Brigade. So I would like to begin this interview with a quote from a review of a recent show in Florida from the Broward Palm Beach New Times that you posted on your Facebook. Next came Skinny Lister, who were a terrible opener. Terrible because of their greatness, and thus an impossible act to follow. Who here read that first sentence and just had a massive panic attack?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We were like nursing our sore heads the next day, and then we read that. So we've been winding each other up with it.
Yeah.
It's been funny.
So how did you all first meet? What's the origin story behind Skinny Lister?
Right, well, obviously me and Max have been together forever because he's my brother. Mm-hmm. And Max and Mule and Dan were playing traditional stuff in London quite a while before they started thinking about mixing it up with original stuff. And then I joined the party. And then we kidnapped Michael on the Warped Tour this year, which we did in the summer. Last year.
Yes. So when did you all realize you had a big enough chemistry to start the band together?
It just was a natural progression, really. Mm-hmm. It started off, you know, fairly small, and then it just got bigger and bigger, I suppose. And then we started playing gigs and going to festivals and getting drunk and having a good time.
It was more about the good time than the music at the beginning.
Still is.
So, unfortunately, my other bastards aren't here today, but our buddy Bluonic wanted to know, where does the name Skinny Lister originate from?
It was an old school friend of mine. He was simply called Stephen Lister. He was very skinny, so we called him Skinny Lister. And I don't know why, but there's nothing more deep and meaningful to it than that. And I think we just chose it because we thought it had a ring to it. And
So he didn't have any trouble with like trademarking it or anything.
It was very handy for that. I mean, a couple of us have been in bands previously with names that sort of clash with a lot of other names, but Skinny Lister, it's a unique one.
So it only clashes with the poor lad who 30 years later.
And he's not skinny anymore.
Yeah, but yeah, Fat Lister sounds more of a jazz band, so Skinny Lister is definitely a much better one.
Our next album's going to be, what is it, Chubby Beefcake?
Ginger
Beefcake. Ginger Beefcake.
So you mentioned your most recent addition, Michael, that you met through the Van Warped Tour. He is the only non-Englishman in the group, hailing from Hawaii. So has your different upbringing influenced the band any differently?
I don't know about influence of the band at all, but it's definitely strange being in London for sure. But it's been like a very great experience being with the band and like learning a lot and just kind of traveling around with them.
It's brought a lot to the band. It's brought loads.
It's influenced our live show a lot, and just this tour in particular. Michael started going out there crowd surfing with his double bass, all that, you know, stuff.
So terrifying every time.
I know, I'm just watching, like, his spike, seeing where he spikes his spike when he's out there.
But it's definitely, yeah, it makes the show feel bigger when you can do that sort of stuff. So
I did want to ask Michael, when was the first time you tried that out?
I think it was Philadelphia. It was actually right before the Boston show. And I literally go up to the biggest guy I see in the crowd, and I go, "Can you lift me up?" Nothing has happened so far.
In Germany, there were a few graces, weren't there?
Some graces, but I never actually crowd
surfed. I've seen people in the crowd get properly bothered by it. Yeah, there's going to be some lawsuits coming.
Yeah.
They can't remember how they got it the next day. They're at a Flogging Molly concert.
Yeah, they're all drunk anyway. So you just released your debut album here in America, Forge and Flag. How did you go about capturing the spirit of your live shows onto a studio recording?
We took whiskey into the studio. We recorded it quite live. We'd stand around and play together, I'd be dancing, you know, we just tried to create a gig feel in the studio, really.
Yeah, and we did it, you know, we didn't use click tracks and stuff, so we put everything down together as much as we could, and then just a few overdubs afterwards, so, you know.
Excellent.
We added a quite a well-known folk Northumbrian piper called Catherine Tickell, and fiddle as well. She played on, was it 17 Summers? And then we also had a friend, Roger Wilson, who's excellent on the fiddle to, beef out the Skinny Lister sound.
Nice.
Oh. We recorded in a remote studio sort of in Wales, where we just sort of went there for 10 days, got away from the rest of the world, and just, you know.
Well, only one night, actually. The rest of the lads went out in Bethesda. It's a small town in Wales. And within 5 minutes of being in the pub, someone had their willy on the table. So, and it, tongues and ears and all sorts of things.
Nice.
It was safer to stay in, which I did. Thank goodness.
Yeah, understandable. I know this is your first release in America, but are there any plans to re-release the Grand Union and Homemade Tour EPs in America in the near future?
No, there aren't any plans.
You've done your work.
I did my work.
They were sort of one-off things that we did of that period, I think. I don't think we'd look to re-release
them. I might have a couple that I could send to you on the hush.
Oh, thank you. That'd be awesome. Because I really love that Australia song you did that you opened up with at the Boston gig. That was a great song.
Australia, yeah?
Yeah.
That is on one of those CDs, we believe.
I believe it's off the Grand Union one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what did we do?
I can't remember that time.
We recorded it in the narrowboat, so yeah, I remember.
We spent 10 days on a narrowboat doing gigs in the evening and opening and shutting the locks on the canals for the rest of the time. So we were drunk for most of that, I'm afraid. So I can't really remember what was on it. It was a lot of fun, though.
Awesome. Lorna, I know your father wrote the song 40 Pound Wedding. What did he think of the band's arrangement of it?
Yeah, well, I was a bit nervous at first because he's quite a traditionalist. And if you hear the original version, it's quite slow. It's a cappella. So we changed it up, sped it up a bit, and I was a bit nervous, but he loved it, obviously. And sometimes he joins us on stage. It's a shame I couldn't bring him to America to show him off to everyone else.
You've been showing off the crowd to him because you've been taking pictures of each show that you do.
Yeah, he loves it. I don't think he's seen a couple because he's up in the Shetland Islands at the moment in Scotland, dressed as a Viking and burning ships. So it's one.
That's awesome.
I'll put a picture Europe on the Instagram. Check him out in a bit.
Awesome. So you've released a few music videos to help promote Forge and Flagon, one of which was the very, very, well, basically the one-shot 17 Summers. Like, how many takes did you have to do for you to finally perfect that one shot?
Just one.
We used three takes, and we used the third take.
We had to be pretty quick, to be honest, because I got a group of people, including strangers and stuff, to hang out and wait at the back, you know, at the end to do the waltzing. And also, it was what's that street called? Well, it's in Soho, basically. So we had sort of transvestites and all sorts. So I'd becoming divas and having a strop at us, even though, you know, they just chanced upon it. So
there was also a lot of Viagra ads in the background for some reason too.
We had my skinny sisters there, and I was trying to plant them along the road so that they would join in the procession as well, but the prostitutes that were busy upstairs kept slinging water at them and telling them to F off because
they thought they were wrecking
their turf.
Wow, your prostitutes are there quite nasty, aren't they?
Oh yeah, you've not even been to Berlin.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, thrown at you down one road.
So Lorna, you are known as the energy liaison of the band. So, as this energy liaison, I mispronounced that, what sort of tasks do you partake in to bring about the moxie needed to hit the stage?
Sorry? That sounds like an intelligent question.
Basically, as an energy liaison, what do you have to do to give everybody the energy?
Well, if I just have a bit of rum, that generally helps the process. I like to share that with other people, and I don't know, I don't even intend to do anything. The music starts, and I dance. I can't help myself, even in soundcheck. If it starts, I go.
Yeah.
But the rum definitely helps.
Awesome. So, you're currently on tour with Flogging Molly and Dave House. How are you enjoying that tour?
Oh, it's rubbish. I'm enjoying it too much. I have a sore head. My hair's a mess. I've got sound check. And all I want to do is go to sleep. But I know I'll crack another beer open and it'll be amazing. Froggy Molly are incredible. We've had loads of jam sessions with them in pubs playing the tunes. I woke up with a broken tooth after a night out with them.
What?
It's been crazy. They're amazing fun. They're such nice guys. And Dave Horse is continually there to take the mick out of me, so which I appreciate.
So be honest, who drinks whom under the table on this tour?
I drink everybody under the table.
Really? So if we brought Dave King in, he would say yes, he drinks all of us under the table.
I don't know whether I can compete with the King. I have to see tonight.
Alright, so
I'm flying to Australia tomorrow, so.
Oh, that's gonna be that's gonna be a tough 20-hour flight for you.
Yeah.
So I've got another question for Michael. And it regards what's written on his bass. This machine kills dubstep. Yes. Where does that originate from?
It's a Woody Guthrie reference. Because he had This Machine Kills Fascists on his guitar. And I didn't really want to copy it because a lot of people copy it. Like Anti-Flag has it on their guitars and stuff like that. But I wanted to do something kind of like in that vein. So I put This Machine Kills Dubstep because either you love dubstep, hate it, and I think I'm not much of a techno fan, so I like traditional music. I love folk music, bluegrass, Americana, and that's kind of where it comes from. You know?
Yes. So, with that question, what are your thoughts on the current rise of the folk music scene?
Like Mumford and Sons and bands like that, and Lumineers and things like that.
Yeah, and Monsters and Men, Avett Brothers. Oh, what the hell? Okay, for those of you who I just got owned by Skinny Lister.
That was Bosco. He's our positive party wolf.
Excellent.
He's like manager, driver, party wolf in one.
Or none of them.
I mean, Mumford's more contemporary. I mean, most of those bands aren't. I think Skinny Lister is a lot more traditional with their music. Yeah. And bands like Veneers, Mumford & Sons, they have that folk kind of background, but their songs are way more contemporary, you know, which makes them more radio-friendly. That's why bands like that are huge.
Let's get in there. Let's get in there for you. I can picture within the next year or so seeing more of you artists like you becoming more popular on the radio. It's just amazing to see this type of genre becoming popular again. Probably not since like World War II have I seen such popularity for it.
It's fun, isn't it? That's why we play it.
Yeah, exactly. It gets the crowd going and moving. I mean, you won over Boston within the second song. It was amazing.
Boston was great fun.
Yes. So your Ride on the Green 17 tour is now winding down with victory flags planted nicely at every stop. And you mentioned Australia as your next stop. But where would you like to plant your next victory flag? Which country would you like to visit and play your music for?
I would love to go to Japan. I like sushi a lot.
You know, I have a lot of friends over in Japan, a lot of friends in the music industry. I could probably hook you up.
Please do. I don't want to go to Russia. A meteorite might fall on my head. But, yeah, no, Japan would be amazing. Australia would be cool. Mm-hmm. We're not going to Australia. Vlogging Molly are going to Australia. We're going home to England.
Oh, okay.
We're returning to America again for South by and for Coachella, though, so we're excited about that, too.
After this tour, what would you like to accomplish next? What's next for Skinny Lister?
Well, we want to come back to the States a lot more. We want to go to Germany a bit as well, and then we want to record our next album. We're already working on some songs, so we played some of the songs in the set, but yeah, we want to get another album down really by the end of the year. Learn Japanese.
Very cool. So the final question I like to ask all the bands, and this is usually like a tough one, but I think you guys can manage it. It's a variation of like, it's called Three Album Island. And it's basically, if you were stuck on a deserted island, which three albums would you like to have on you to keep you sane into your imminent rescue, and why?
Beyonce, because I like to shake my booty.
Mozart's Mass in C minor.
One more. Tom Young.
Album for Desert Island.
Probably
Like Age Fire. Funeral.
The first album.
You got that?
Yeah. Good choices. Anybody else want to throw in some albums? Because I usually let each band member choose their own set of albums.
All right, cool. So ours. In his present state.
He just has Skinny Lister. That's all he listens to. On repeat.
Yes. Okay. So, Forge and Flagon, in stores now. Skinny Lister, thank you so much for joining us here on Boston Bastard Brigade. And promise, the next time you come in Boston, the first round's on us, okay?
Hey! Ahoy!
Thank you very much, you Boston.
You are very welcome.
Well, as I walk down the metal road with